I enjoyed Jeff Johnson's interview just before I came on the air, and he is a gentleman by the name of Greg Berube of CrossFit Scopos, and he said a couple of magic words. Then I said, I have to talk to that guy. Unfortunately, my guest for the Dairy June Dairy Month, we're not able to make it today. So I asked Greg if he would stick around, and we'll get into an in-depth report. The two words that you said were 70 as an age and St. Paul. And I went, oh, hey, I'm a former St. Paulite. I've lived in Northfield for almost exactly 50 years, coming up in a couple months. And, of course, Northfield is my home. But, of course, I have an attachment to St. Paul because I grew up all over St. Paul. I'm going to make a bet with you right now, okay?
Okay.
You give me 125 hours of CrossFit Scopos instruction if I can tell you that I probably lived within a mile wherever you grew up. Now, that's a pretty, you know, St. Paul's a pretty good-sized city.
You're very confident. I would probably have to say no bet on that.
All right. We're
extremely confident about this.
What part of St. Paul?
I grew up in Marion Park.
Marion Park. Oh, boy. Come on. We can get the old thing going here. Marion Park. Oh, is that out by Snelling?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I lived on Hamlin and Marshall.
Yep.
That's one of the places.
You're well within a mile of where I was. Marshall and Fairview.
Okay. Did you go to Central?
I did.
Okay, I went to Central.
Yep.
But only 1 year. I moved all over St. Paul.
Sure.
My mother would move us in August and kind of maybe skip out on the rent. And we'd go find some other place to go, and that one was you're probably too young to remember Tracy's Oil Station on the corner of Hamlin and Marshall. Now there's a big convenience store there.
Yeah, the Holiday's there now.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, that used to be a little smaller, and right next to it, I've explained this before. Some listeners will say, "Oh, Wayne, you mentioned that," but you don't know this. There was a brick house, a two-story house, right next to it, towards Snelling.
That's a school now.
Oh no! Right on the there's a school behind Holiday.
Yeah.
Oh.
And there's a one-story brick schoolhouse right behind Holiday now.
Well, then there was a water conditioning place right between Tracy's and.
Oh, that might be. Yeah, you might be right.
So this was a brick and the main floor. If you looked in the windows, you'd see tires and more tires and batteries and all. There's storage for the gas station.
Yeah.
And then above that, they had an apartment. And my room, I swear to God, was about half the size of this room.
You had a closet.
Yeah. and there was a window in that room. And coming out of the wall was a sign hanging over. What do you say, perpendicular, and it said, gas for less, gas for less.
It was a
neon sign.
Like a blinking sign?
That blinked.
Right in your window.
Right in my window.
Brutal.
Gas for less. And I'll bet you at that time, gas was probably 19 cents a gallon or something. But anyhow, I you mentioned St. Paul, and you mentioned 70, and you said that when you get to be in 70 years old that you want to be able to function, and I notice you're wearing shorts, and your calf is about twice the size of mine. You know, it looks kind of almost weird because you have
Thanks.
You have these normal ankles, right? And then there's this calf, and it's just like a pear, and then it goes up to the knee, and I go, wow. So I heard the interview before. I don't want to be too duplicitous until later on. So let's just start with you were born in St. Paul.
I was not.
Okay.
I'm from St. Paul. I got you there.
Interview over. Okay. Where were you born?
Unfortunately, I was born in Wisconsin. I was born in Rice Lake, Wisconsin.
I know where that is.
So I spent like 2 years. The first years of my life were actually in Spooner.
I know where that is.
Yeah. My dad was a pastor of... what was the church name?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
Did a lot of fishermen go to his church on Sunday mornings?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Isn't Spooner like the home of the big fish? It might
wouldn't surprise me at all.
I mean, a great big fish to draw.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's like a big get like your a picture. Wooden one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. For okay. sure.
And of course, Spooner is where the Fishing Hall of Fame is.
I did not know that.
What do you? Well, for goodness'
sake. I was only there till I was two.
Oh, okay. Well, pay attention. Okay. So your father was a pastor.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you can't remember the name of the church.
I cannot.
Well, obviously, it wasn't Catholic.
It was not.
Okay.
Yeah. So non-denominational Protestant church. But 2 years there, and then we moved to St. Paul. And my parents just last week moved out of the house that they moved into when I was two.
Wow.
It was a big, dramatic, emotional moment all the kids in my family. But it was a four-floor Victorian home.
Oh.
And they're now 70 and starting to have some issues navigating four flights of stairs every day.
Yeah, you can. Right.
So good to get them out of there, but lots of memories.
Four, did you say four floors?
Steps? Well,
that'd be the basement and three?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, what street?
So it's right. It was Marshall and Dayton. So it was one block south.
There's some. Big
sorry, not
homes.
No. Fairview and Dayton. One block south of Marshall.
Oh, well, okay. You're not very far from Summit Avenue.
No, it's about half a mile north of Summit.
Yeah. There's some beautiful big homes in that neighborhood.
Yeah, Summit is like where St. Paul like got its roots.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, be more descriptive of the house, because that's I find that interesting. Okay, now you grew up there from 2 years old until you left for college,
yep.
I assume.
Yep.
So, you know, tell me how far away the houses were in, you know, did you sit in the middle of the block, at the end of the block?
On a corner.
You were on a corner?
Right on the corner.
Well, that means a lot of mowing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Am I right?
Yep. And in St. Paul, the homeowner's responsible for the boulevard and all that, too. So, I mean, it's a lot of mowing. My dad was the guy that did all the mowing. He liked it. It was his alone time. So when he was gone on a Saturday and I got to mow, it was kind of a special treat.
Now, did he always have a power mower?
No.
Is he from the era of the push mower?
Yeah, the push mower. We had the the razor blade walk behind.
Yep.
And then eventually he moved into a push-powered one, but never got one that was self-propelled. Like he was against the self-propelled.
So did you ever use the push-power one?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, not the power one. I mean the push one using your own power?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you're bringing back memories for me, and I appreciate that. I remember as a kid, you wanted to mow the lawn.
Yeah.
You know, that was as a little kid.
Yeah.
And
now I pay someone else to do it.
Of course. And were you ever so small that you had to actually reach up to push the lawnmower handles?
So the nice thing about those walk-behinds with the razor blade, what are they called? Is it just a walk-behind?
The blades, I guess.
Yeah. They don't have, like, a set height for the handle. Like, you can bring it as low as you want. So even when I was, you know, 2 feet tall. I don't know if I ever did it when I was that young.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. Okay. Even when I was tiny, you could still get the handle at a height where you could push it normally.
And if you didn't stay on top of it, you know, and let it grow, it was
that's
tough.
A nightmare. You'd have to do it like 3 times.
I was going to say you have to back and forth, back and forth. I think WD-40 probably was the best thing ever for having a lawnmower like
routinely
that.
Routinely 4 to 5 cans of that sitting in the garage.
Amen. Yeah. What about siblings? Do you have brothers? Okay, who is the oldest?
Renee.
Renee. And how much older than you is Renee?
Renee is 40.
Okay. Well, you're going to give me their ages. That's cool. Then after Renee?
Lisa.
Lisa. Okay. And how much older is Lisa?
Lisa's 37.
Okay. And then after Lisa?
That's me.
All right. And you, of course, got to tell me your age.
I'm Greg. I am 35.
Okay. You saw me take
That's all right.
You saw me take 35, okay. And who's after Greg? You.
Dan.
How much old is he?
Dan's 33.
Oh, my gosh. And then after Dan?
Eric,
okay. And how old is Eric?
Eric's 31.
31. That's it?
No.
One more?
Then Lauren.
Lauren. Is that a guy or gal?
Gal.
Gal. Yeah. Lauren. Okay. My daughter's middle name is, my granddaughter's middle name is Lauren. There we go. All right. Lauren. And how old is Lauren?
I think these ages might be slightly off. But I think Lauren's
25. Okay. So she was kind of like, oh, another one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's got to be fun growing up. You have an older sister that could babysit you. And then, of course, you had another one that could do that. And then Dan was a good guy to play with and have fun with him.
We didn't get along.
You didn't?
No.
I understand that. Did you get along with any of them?
Well, so Eric and Lauren got along really well for some reason. They had like a relationship that bonded. Renee and Lisa got along, and then Dan and I were more on our own. The middle children, you know, the difficult middle children. Dan and Eric eventually went to college together, and got like rented a house together, but. I think I was more the loner.
You were the big brother.
Yeah, sort of.
Okay, now, this is a question I ask everybody. By the way, it's 9:20 on the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station, 95.1, the 1 FM. And when was Dan and or Eric able to take you?
They've never been able to.
Never.
No.
So that's why you didn't get along with them. The big brother ruled the roost.
Yeah, that's never happened. I mean, Eric is he was in the Army, and he just got out of the military about 6 months ago.
Oh.
I'm sure at some point during his military career he could have thrown me around, but it never came to that. We didn't test it.
Okay.
I was CrossFitting while he was in the military, so it would have been an interesting challenge. But
And we'll talk a little bit more about CrossFitting, but your dad then became a pastor somewhere in St. Paul?
Yeah, so we moved specifically so that my dad could plant a new church in St. Paul.
Okay.
But he pastored three churches.
Well, where were they and what were their names, if you can recall?
Cornerstone, Antioch. Those two were in... Cornerstone was Spooner. That finally... There we go.
Okay.
Cornerstone was Spooner. And then he was in... the body of Christ, and then...
Where was that physically located?
Physically, I think it was somewhere in St. Paul. Antioch was in Matamidi. You know where that is?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I've done some... I did an overnight there one time, you know, when the high school kids are locked in.
Oh, sure, sure.
After
at the Matamidi High School?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I brought along a young 18, 19-year-old magician that I had met.
Oh.
I was in my probably 30s. And this kid is a very successful magician now, has his own show. And
cool.
In that place in Missouri. Anyhow. this is what happens when you don't work out. But anyhow, yeah, I remember Matamidi. It's a nice town.
It is.
Surrounded by a lot of wealthy people.
Yeah.
So he then had the church in Matamidi. But he commuted from St. Paul.
Correct. Yeah.
All right.
Same house. There's like all of these were in the same house in St. Paul.
Okay.
And then we did Christ Community Church. We rented from the Seventh-day Adventist Church, right in Highland Park.
Oh, we're getting up there.
Yeah. And then he helped to pastor or like kind of transitioned that church into a merger with a church in Frogtown, Midway.
Okay. Getting closer to home.
Yeah.
Well, Highland would have been closer.
They're pretty similar.
Even,
they're
yeah.
pretty similar.
Yeah.
But he actually then kind of morphed out of being a pastor into leadership training. He was the president of something called the Alliance for Renewal Churches and did a lot of leadership training for churches around the world where he would go and try to help get... the pastors and elders kind of on the same page with their mission statement and working towards one goal instead of having a bunch of individual goals. So he emerged
around the world?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Brazil, Germany, Poland.
Did you ever get to go with him?
Oh, yeah.
You did?
I did.
All right. That's cool. Well, we'll get to that stage of your life in a moment. I want to go to your grandparents next, and you think about that while I pass the word about the quarterback. Have you been introduced to the quarterback club yet?
I've been there once.
And what did you order?
I don't even remember.
Okay. Well, they are famous for their broasted chicken.
Broasted chicken.
Oh, yeah. And they're the only place in town that has flame-broiled burgers.
I'm pretty sure I got a burger.
Yeah. And they have like five choices that you can look at, and there's a picture right there, and some with mushrooms and things like that, $7.27 to get the burger, and you get French fries, a generous order, and a large drink.
Nice.
And it's very inexpensive. And this may surprise you. They have the best baby back barbecued ribs with mountains of madness just oozing all over them in the form of their special sauce. Most expensive item on the menu, but anywhere else you'd pay maybe a half again as much. But at the QB, the prices are right. Locally owned, locally managed. You know how important that is.
I get it. Okay. Small town local business.
Amen. 50 years they've been in business.
That's awesome.
So the QB, we invite you to stop there and enjoy your lunch today, breakfast tomorrow, and we will be back with our guest here on KYMN Radio, Greg Berube, and find out where he went with his dad when his dad was a worldwide pastor trainer. Well, you know what we're going to do? We're not going to do Conway Twitty right now. So we're going to fade out on that because I made a mistake. Believe it or not, I made a mistake. We want to talk about something else, and that's baseball.
Attention Prince fans. On Friday, June 8th, the forecast at Target Field calls for purple rain. Join us for a celebration of Prince's life and music as the Minnesota Twins host the Los Angeles Angels. The first 10,000 fans will get an inflatable Prince guitar. What? Or purchase a special theme night ticket package that includes an exclusive Prince cap. That's how we go crazy for Prince and our Minnesota Twins. This is how we baseball. Visit twinsbaseball.com/Prince.
Do you have an old junk or car in the garage or on the farm? Call Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300. Get the most cash for your old junk or vehicle and have it taken away for free. Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300.
Tweehouse Gardens would like to congratulate all of the area graduates and wish them well in their new endeavors. As you get ready for your graduation party, stop by Tweehouse this week and you'll find hanging baskets for $12.99, large tomato plants 4 for $5, and all flowers to make your garden beautiful are buy two, get one free. Tweehouse Gardens is open 9 to 5:30, Monday through Saturday, Sunday 11 to 5. They are conveniently located along Highway 20 between Faribault and Northfield.
Welcome back to the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio, a friend you can count on, and we are talking to a gentleman by the name of Greg Berube, a new guy in town, has a business called CrossFit Scopos. By the way, I have to ask you, Greg, when you were talking about the fact that you grew so fast that you had to knock out some walls and increase the size of your operation, and I heard you say Dundas, but I don't know where in Dundas.
So the gym is CrossFit Scopos. We're in the strip mall right next to Menards. So if you're going down Highway 3 mm-hmm. and you see Menards, there's that little strip mall with Subway and yep. Fastenal in it.
I go by it every day.
Right there.
I live just right out that area.
We're working on getting a lit sign so you can't miss it.
A lit sign.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're next to the pawn shop?
The pawn shop closed.
Okay.
They actually...
Uh-oh, yeah. I had them on the air. Yeah, that was a pretty small operation.
Well, it was their second location. They have a large, very successful location in Faribault.
Yeah.
And it was their attempt to see if they could merge a second location. Sure. And I don't know exactly what happened, but it didn't work out. They closed.
Yeah. And I think they're on Central Avenue down in Faribault. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But So you're right there by also the Gooders?
Yep.
Okay. And so I'm familiar with the place. And so you got two spaces there.
I have two spaces.
Who's
now,
your landlord there?
So it's actually Yellowhammer Industries. It's the guy that owns it is out of California, but Bruce Rydeen does the...
The leasing and upkeep.
And then Blue Water does all the actual landlord stuff.
Okay. I know the Blue Water people very well. Okay, so I'm going to ask you about your grandparents. And, you know, fortunately, I had the opportunity to know three out of the four. Good fond memories, of course. And what about you? Let's go to your mom's side, okay? Now, where was your mom from?
Buell, Minnesota. Do you know where that is?
I don't.
Yeah, got you on one.
All right. Buell.
Buell is north of Bemidji, up in the Iron Range.
Oh, boy, that's up there.
Yeah. Tiny town. I think she went to Bemidji High School, so... I don't know exactly how everything worked out when she was a kid, but we spent a lot of time visiting grandparents.
In the summertime.
Buell. Yeah, in Buell.
Is there a lake nearby?
So the Iron Range actually has all of the the quarries that were dug out.
Oh,
they become
cold.
Lakes. They're ice cold, super clear.
Yeah.
It's fun. The scary thing is that some of them just immediately dive off, so it's fine, there's nothing.
did you ever try to touch the bottom and have your ears pop?
I was not that adventurous as a
kid. Okay. So you never got to the bottom of the deal, huh?
I did not.
All right.
No.
So when you went up there, did the whole tribe go up there with you? Renee, Lisa, Dan, Eric, and Laura?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And my grandparents lived in a large double-wide trailer.
That was a busy place.
That was busy. Yeah. So they had a pull-out bed in their living room, and then we had air mattresses everywhere. It was actually really like a very nice trailer. It's always that weird misconception where you think a
double wide.
Yeah,
yeah. They look like a home.
It looks like a home. Yeah, it looks like a ranch.
So that was your grandmother on your mother's side.
Yes.
And what about grandpa on your mother's side?
Lived there. They lived together. They
okay.
Were still,
so grandma and grandpa.
Yep.
And did you ever go there for holidays in the wintertime?
Rarely. My grandfather's a World War II vet.
Okay.
So he came down to the Veterans Memorial Hospital routinely,
mm-hmm.
and he would often schedule that around holidays and come and spend holidays with us as he made the trip to the hospital.
Did he have a profession, your grandpa, when he's living in Buell?
That's a good question. I don't think so. I think they were retired for most of my, most of my recent memory.
Okay. Is there a particular a part of Europe, perhaps, that...
I think he was in Africa.
No, I'm talking about your background. Like the name Berube, I'm going to get to that. That would be your
dad's
father's
side, yeah.
Name. Yeah. But I'm wondering, like, there's a lot of Finlanders up in that part of the country, and Norwegian and Swedish and Croatian and things like that.
We're very Scandinavian on mom's side.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you ever go smelt fishing up there?
I did not.
Okay.
What is that?
Smelt are little tiny fish that... run up the rivers off of Lake Superior.
No,
and
I
you
didn't
use
happen.
A big net like a butterfly net, or
sure.
more stronger net, and you catch them, and then you fry them and you eat them, and they're good.
Kind of like anchovies.
No,
small like that though, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. But no, they don't taste like anchovies.
Taste better than anchovies. I hope they taste better than anchovies.
Do you like anchovies?
I do not.
Okay. Do you know where Grotto and Selby is?
Yes.
Okay. There used to be a pizza place there called Angelo's.
Okay.
And I worked there as a punk kid when I was going to Central. And I was making these pizzas, and people would order anchovies, and I had to put them on. The guy was, the owner was, you know, be careful, you know, don't put too many on there. They're very expensive. And one time, about the fourth time, I'm slapping on the anchovies, and I thought, I wonder what those taste like. And I threw one in my mouth. I like salt, but not that much.
Yikes, yeah. That is not my thing.
So you spent a lot of time with Grandma and Grandpa way up north in Buell, and all the kids and everybody in a double wide, and had a lot of fun, went to the quarries, and et cetera. So now what I wanted to know is about your mom, or Grandma and Grandpa on your dad's side, Berube.
Yep. I did not ever know my grandpa.
Okay.
He died before I was born.
All right.
My grandma was Mimi.
Mimi?
Mimi.
What'd you call the other grandmother?
Grandpa and grandma.
And Mimi.
Mimi.
Okay.
And I think it was, there were, both of my parents come from families of seven. So I think the grandparents figured out that they should be called something else.
Oh,
if they weren't
going
to be confused with other grandparents.
I get it. Okay.
So Mimi, it was Mimi and Papa. I never knew Papa. Mimi lived in Connecticut. That's where my dad was from originally.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of a name is Berube?
It's actually French-Canadian.
All right. So should I say Berube?
Yeah, that would be more correct, but we don't do that.
Okay. How often, what percentage of the time do you have to tell people or correct people when they read your last name?
If I say it first, or if they're just doing it on their own?
If they're, well, yeah, they don't know it. They just read it?
I would say 90% of the time it's wrong.
Okay, and what do they usually say?
Oh, man, Barub is very normal.
Okay.
For some reason, people add a D, so we get Berdubi a lot.
Bur, okay.
Berdubi. Yeah. It's weird. The growing up, phone connected to the wall. The phone goes off, and you have to actually.
You're that old?
Yeah, oh, yeah, okay. Barely. But yeah, okay. It was there. You always knew to hang up when somebody would ask if Mr. Barub was available, because that was a telemarketer.
Yeah. All right.
Done.
Barubi. I wonder if you should add an E on the end of there.
Another one?
Barubi, yeah.
There's an E there already.
Yeah. Well, it could. Never mind. Greg Barubi. What's your middle name?
Edward.
Edward. G-E-B.
Yep.
Did you have a nickname growing up?
Greg is the nickname. It's actually Gregory.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you knew your Grand Mimi.
Yeah.
And she lived in Connecticut. How often could you see her?
As kids, we probably went there once a year. I would take a trip in the summer. As we got older, more rarely.
Okay, now, when you look at the ages, your sister Renee and your sister Lauren, I mean, they're, my goodness, 25 years apart. Or no, not...
I think the ages are a little wrong. Apart. It's supposed to be about 17 years of difference.
But I'm trying to picture a trip to Connecticut with your mom and your dad.
Yeah.
And your other siblings.
It was in a car, like in vans. It was tight.
Oh, who got to sit shotgun or whatever you call it?
So mom was shotgun.
Okay.
And then usually someone would be missing. So it was very rare that the whole crew would go.
Okay.
Because somebody would have a camp or, you know, Renee was in college for a lot of the time. So then it was Lisa and I that got, like, captain's chairs in the middle,
mm-hmm.
and then Dan, Eric, and Lauren got to sit and all bunched up in the back.
And that's why you didn't get along with Dan.
Probably didn't like it very much.
Yeah, okay. I can imagine. That was an overnight trip for sure, wasn't it?
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
a couple nights?
Sometimes two, yeah. We would stop at hotels and sometimes three if the car broke down, you know.
Yeah. Now, when you lived in that beautiful home, and we started talking about that. By the way, folks, Greg Barubi is my guest this morning, and he's new to the Northfield area. He started a business, and it's in Dundas, and it's called CrossFit Scopos. And I got the impression that maybe Jeff and Terry have stopped by there.
Couple times.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I just told him, I said, boy, you really look buff, because I anticipated he had been there, and he got this big smile on him, but that's a smart thing to do, is to stay in shape one way or the other. And
yeah.
You're a runner?
Oh, man, I'm a terrible runner.
Oh, good. I won't go there yet. So when your dad was going around the world, you said that you did have an opportunity to go with them. Well, now with all of these siblings and you right there in the middle, how did he pick, like, 1 year Renee got to go and he just went through the kids?
So I actually worked the system a little bit to get to go with him. I was a junior in college, and I went to Cornell College in Iowa, and they have something called One Course at a Time. Have you ever heard of that?
One course at a time, sweet cheese. No, that's one day at a time.
It's different, yeah. It's
okay.
Not the same.
No, tell me about it.
So one course at a time, there's like four or five schools in the nation that do this, but it's basically the idea of J-term all year. So every class you do takes 1 month, but it's the only class you take. So I only ever took one class at any given time. So I would take a class for a month, take a final, start a new class next month, take a final. Kind of work through that way.
Well, that's kind of interesting.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
It was way less stressful than juggling four or five classes at once.
Do you know that at one time, I'm going to forget the name of the league, oh well, Carleton played Cornell every year, and Grinnell, and they were in the Midwest, I think they called it, conference.
Oh, sure. They played Cornell College?
I think so.
Huh. I didn't know that.
Well... That's why you're here, to learn.
Good, I'm learning things. This is great.
9:38 on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio. My guest this morning on Kim is Greg Berube, and we're talking about his family and his growing up. And I started in a little bit about the house. Okay, now, was the basement a damp, dreary place with a toilet?
Kind of. The basement, we ended up finishing two of the rooms, so there were actually two bedrooms down there.
Oh.
This house has a history. There, throughout the 30-plus years that my family lived there, they had over 120 international students living with them.
Wow.
And so the basement, two bedrooms, and then the bedroom up in the attic were always, almost always, until near the end of my high school experience, full of international students.
Well, that had to be educational.
Extremely.
Did you make friends with some of them?
Absolutely, yeah.
That,
they still come back and visit us for Christmas sometimes.
Do you ever go there?
I have not done that, no.
Okay. What countries off the top of your head?
I would say almost all of them. I mean, Spain, Japan, China, Australia. We had a number of people from Japan. We had quite a few people from Saudi Arabia.
Didn't you want to kind of really buddy up to the ones from Saudi Arabia?
Anybody that made good food, I buddied up to.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I'm thinking, you know, Saudi Arabia, oil, money, princes, and
there
all
were,
that stuff.
There were definitely some individuals from Saudi Arabia that came in with a clear amount of money.
Would they then go to Concordia?
Hamlin and Concordia, yeah. Those were sometimes St. Thomas, depending on what they were doing. But a lot of Hamlin students.
Yeah, and that's pretty convenient.
Yeah.
Boy, you must have learned an awful lot from these various individuals and how far advanced they were education-wise compared to your age.
And a number of them weren't undergrad students. They were like the gentleman from Spain was a doctor already, and he was coming to learn a very specific surgical technique, and I learned a ton from him.
Now, what about the dinner table?
That was the best.
Yeah, it's 20 minutes before 10. We're going to learn about that. We have a young man in studio here at KYMN Radio, Greg Berube, and he has five siblings, a mom and dad, and a four-story home, counting the basement, with international students also living there. So what's that like to sit down for dinner? We're going to find out in just a moment.
At Harry Brown's Family Automotive in Faribault, one of our family values is appreciating good things, making them last. That's why, through all our 50 years in business, we have taken great care to provide quality pre-owned vehicles to those who come looking. We invite you to explore our wide selection the next time you're searching for quality and value in a pre-owned car, truck, van, SUV. Why? Because the good ones are at Harry Brown's Family Automotive in Faribault. Online at harrybrowns.com.
The Army National Guard is committed to keeping the country safe and our community secure. Composed of hundreds of thousands of citizen soldiers from all walks of life, the Guard is always ready to respond to local or national emergencies. We protect the homeland. We're always there when called upon. And in every state and territory, we stand guard for our communities. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
It takes special skills to be a Daikin Comfort Pro. Let's listen in as he senses an old, inefficient system's imminent demise.
So costly. Tormented by an ongoing battle over the thermostat. Its days are numbered.
You got all that by waving your hand in the air in our living room?
Get to know your local Daikin Comfort Pro.
This is Andy Straits with Straits 72 Degrees, your local third-generation business. Call me at 645-4040 or straightsheating.com.
We're back on the air on the Wayne Eddy Affair. I'm glad that you're there at 1080 or 95.1. The one, Greg Berube, is my guest here this morning. He's a newbie in town. I heard Jeff call you that. And he has a new business called CrossFit Scopos. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But right now, he's from a family of six, and he's in the third oldest. And Renee, his sister, is 40. Lisa's 37. And Greg is 35. Dan's 33. Eric, 31. And Lauren, 25. And then, international students. So now, Tell me about mealtime when the international students were in the attic or in the basement, and y'all had to sit down to eat.
Yeah, so we always gave the international students the option to eat with us, and you know, maybe like twice a week they would actually come and eat with us, and the other times their schedules wouldn't sync up with ours, so they'd eat on their own. But it was interesting to see international students react to our food like it was strange, and then at least once a month we'd convince them to cook for us, and it was eye-opening, some of the things that we ate, especially spice, the amount of heat in food that we were not used to in the Midwest. You get like the Saudi Arabian spice, and we had a couple of Indian men living with us at some point that were, I mean, the amount of heat in that food was completely crazy to us. That was our first exposure to sriracha sauce. Have you ever had sriracha sauce?
No, I don't do even Tabasco.
Don't do heat.
But I got to ask you a question. If you had this fellow from India and they use all these spices, and of course spice not only has a taste, but it has an aroma.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you and Renee and Lisa and Dan and Eric and Lauren and Mom and Dad, let's just pretend that you're all together, and this guy from India prepared this food, I would assume there was an odor involved because you sweat that stuff out.
Curry, yeah.
So do you recall after the guy got done cooking that scent, aroma, or odor?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And curry is actually still one of my favorites, so I routinely beg my wife to make curry again. I've attempted to make it myself, and I do it poorly. Yeah. She makes really good curry, but there's a memory associated with that for sure, where I, you remember smells, you know, and when you smell it again, it triggers memories that had when you first smell it. So curry was it's a very powerful aroma. It sticks around for a couple of days, but it became something that I loved. Love that smell.
You know, speaking about food, and because I sometimes have to mention something while it crosses my mind, I lose it. Last night, I generally, I'm responsible for the meals for my wife and I because she's still working full time. So anyhow, I'm thinking, what can I get for supper and what do I have here? And I came up with something that I don't know why, and I have no idea what triggered it, that my mother used to make. And it's so simple. Take a pound of hamburger, fry it up in little pieces, season it, you know, the salt and the pepper, and then put milk in there into the frying pan, and then some flour, and you get kind of a creamy sauce that you pour over mashed potatoes.
And I've never heard of that.
Well, I think it was like a poor man's dinner. I mean, it's so simple and inexpensive, you know. And I presented it to my wife when she got home. She said, what is that? And I said, it's mashed potatoes, hamburger, seasoning, a little flour to give it some thickness. And really? And I said, just try it. And I made a plate up for her, and she ate the whole thing. And I said, how did you like that? She said, well, it was okay. But it's quick, and it's cheap. It's also 13 minutes before 10 o'clock on Kim Radio with my friend now, Greg Berube. Okay, so you have these this home, and it's four stories. We talked about the basement. Okay, now the first floor, was that all dining room and library, or were there bedrooms on the first floor?
No, it's all living space. So it was, you know, kitchen, dining room, and then I guess you'd call it a great room. Because it was a two-sided living room with a big fireplace in the middle.
Wow, cool.
It's very cool. So people that have come in to look at the house walked into that room and were just sort of awestruck by it. It's this very, like, 1900 brick chimney going up, and a paver hearth around it, and it's beautiful. Carpet needs some replacing. But just a huge great room that was literally half of that first floor. And then a kitchen that was a quarter. And
was there a pantry?
No.
No?
No, just cupboards.
I'll bet you there was originally.
There may have been. There's a closet that we used as like the coat closet that may have been a pantry because it was right next to the kitchen at some point.
Okay, so what's on the second floor?
That's all bedrooms. Bedrooms and a bathroom.
How many?
One, two, three, four. Four.
Okay, so did you have to share a bedroom with Dan?
I shared a bedroom with Dan and Eric.
Oh, okay. Now we know why.
So it was me, Dan, and Eric in one room, Lisa and Lauren in another room, and then Renee in her own room. And then when Renee went to college, Lisa and Lauren continued to share, and then I got my own room.
All right, cool. That's another reason.
Yeah,
brother.
Yeah, yeah, I get the own room and then jealousy.
how about getting up into the attic, which you made into a bedroom?
Yep.
Were there real steep steps?
It's actually very. So it was a U shape. So there's steps up, landing, steps up again.
Okay.
So it wasn't one staircase up. That would have been very steep.
Okay.
But the way that the steps were built, it was totally reasonable. There was a little bit of a balcony living room area at the top of the stairs.
Yeah.
And then a doorway into the bedroom and a doorway into the bathroom.
And how many bathrooms were in the place?
So one in the attic, one on the second floor, one in the basement.
Oh, okay. That one in the basement, modern, or do you remember, did you pull the chain?
Not that bad.
Okay.
But definitely, it was definitely the least modern of the three bathrooms.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of a lot of fun. When you were little kids, did you hide in it and play in it and run all over? And
I mean, we were outside more than anything else. We have a huge, it's not our house anymore. I can't say it have anymore. But we had a fenced-in backyard. My uncle built us a big playhouse because he's a carpenter extraordinaire. So he built this huge playhouse in the backyard. So there's a fort and a sandbox and all that we spent vast amounts of my childhood playing in.
Were there a lot of neighborhood kids?
Yeah. So that Body of Christ church that my dad pastored was, there were a bunch of people from that church that lived on our street. So we would, I mean, within two blocks, there were five or six different families that we played with.
Now, you're pretty young, comparatively speaking.
Well, thanks.
I'm more than twice as old as you. But did your, when dinner time came around, did mom yell, or did they ring a bell, or whistle? Or
no, there was a set time, and if we were playing with other kids, the other kids' parents also knew the set time that we were expected to be home at, because everybody, you know, they went to the same church and they all were very close. You know, if dinner was at 5:30, at 5:15, my friend's mom would come out and say, "Greg, time to go home. You got to go have dinner."
So, tell me about your first bicycle.
My first bicycle, my dad won from a raffle at Pizza Hut.
Well, tell me about that.
that's really all there is to tell. That we were just sitting in Pizza Hut. I used to do the that reading. There's, if you read a book every month, you got a ticket for a small personal pizza.
Okay.
So I was an avid reader. Every month I'd get my ticket, and my dad and I would go and get a pizza at Pizza Hut. And one day we walked in, and they were having a raffle. My dad threw a dollar in and got a ticket and won me a little Hurley. Well, not Hurley. What was it? Huffy bike. Yeah, there you go.
And what color?
Red.
All right. Is it a boy's bike?
Yeah.
All right. Any bells and whistles, literally?
I don't think so. I think it may have had, like, pseudo shocks on the front, which I thought were very cool, and I tried to take it off jumps because of it. But
so there was no animosity from Dan or Eric that you got the bicycle?
I don't think so. Not that I'm aware of. They might have been mad. I didn't notice. I was too happy with my own bike.
Yeah, but I mean, because you come home with a brand new bike, and Dad paid a dollar for the raffle ticket, and you got it.
Well, but I was the one that read the book that got us into Pizza Hut in the first place.
So what got you into books, reading books? The Bible? The Bible, maybe?
My dad was very, very into reading. He studied a lot for pastoral things, but he actually would have me read a book and then have me give him a book report.
Wow.
As a kid. And eventually I decided that my way of rebelling against him was to read books that he didn't want me to read instead of the books that he did want me to read. But he kind of won anyway because I kept reading books.
Yeah. Now, did he do that with all the kids?
No. I think that was very much a sort of a firstborn son thing for my dad.
Oh, okay.
You know, it was something where I developed a love for reading quickly, and it just wasn't necessarily the same way that my younger brothers functioned.
No, because you're a kid and you got your bicycle, and you had privilege to roam as a kid.
Yeah.
So would you ever bike over to Hamlin or to Concordia or to St. Thomas or up and down Summit Avenue?
Summit Avenue. Yeah. Summit Avenue and then the Mississippi River Boulevard. Yeah, that was
what I didn't say next.
So yeah. I would go down Fairview to Summit and then ride down Summit all the way to the Mississippi River Boulevard. And then bike around, sometimes in the trails. There's the trails that lead down towards the water themselves. Yeah. But, yeah, I spent a lot of time biking around that area.
Wasn't there a gentleman killed there on a bicycle about 5-6 years ago?
I don't know, I'm
by
sure.
A drunken driver. Did you ever get the guts to cross the river on the Lake Street Bridge?
On a bike?
Yeah.
I did not.
Did you ever kind of want to?
Say,
I rode to Minneapolis.
I mean, I did it in a car when I was older. Yeah. But no, I don't think I ever spent any time biking over as a kid. I eventually lived at St. Thomas and worked there for a while through grad school. And I played in an Ultimate Frisbee League that was in Minneapolis, and I would bike across then.
Okay.
And go to play Ultimate Frisbee. That was like my warm-up.
We're going to get you into grade school and high school after this brief break, all right?
Okay.
Okay, he just said, wait a minute. Oh, here's something. Yeah, you're going to want to listen to this. Because, boy, it could have been, is it here? Is this going to work? Oh, no. It's out of rotation. It shouldn't be. Huh. Oh, well. It was going to be a story about what's going on at the St. Paul Saints game, and I can't bring it up with a kill date of 6:30. Okay. Terry's coming in. She's going to fix everything for me. I appreciate it. Yeah, we were going to talk about the St. Paul Saints because you were just down the road from them. Where you lived.
Yeah.
Did you have a chance to go to a St. Paul Saints game?
Multiple times, yeah.
Did you sneak in or did you get paid?
Oh, we paid.
Okay. Did you get to meet Daryl Strawberry?
I didn't, but I was around at games when he was on the team.
Did you ever get to running? They always have something going on. Did you ever get a massage from the nun?
I did not.
Did you ever pick up the pig?
I did not.
Did you ever run around the bases?
Yes.
You did?
Yeah.
What was the story behind that?
They just let a bunch of kids do it before the game at some point.
Okay.
Yeah, it was nothing during the game. They let us like come out and run around once.
That'd be fun.
That was fun.
And did you ever go out to the outfield?
I did not.
And no. Did you ever watch the trains go by?
I mean, I saw the trains go by. Like we could see the lights of Midway Stadium. From our house.
Uh-huh.
Like they're obvious and bright, but we didn't spend any time watching trains, no.
Okay, well, we were going to have a message from the St. Paul Saints. And I have a guy that is a good friend of Michael Vec, and he said that he might able to get him to come on down. Terry's coming in again and working on my message from the St. Paul Saints, see if that's going to work. Hey, that's going to work. All right. Thank you, Terry. Okay, we'll get to that word in a minute here at 3 minutes before 10 o'clock on KYMN Radio. What are you doing?
I'm waiting for you.
Okay. He has his phone, and they look similar. Is yours an iPhone?
Yep.
Did you get a message about within the last week saying we have a new update? Update now.
Probably. I just have my phone do that automatically.
Well, it says do it now, do it later, or do it overnight.
I do it overnight.
Well, I think that's what I did. Well, then I go to it, and now they tell me that I cannot use my phone because I don't have a code. A code. You know, like you unlock things.
You have to actually have it unlocked now. Or you have to have a code on it.
Now so I put in a code, and it said, no, that's too easy. What? I don't care what's on my phone.
Sure.
You know, my wife can look at it any time. There's nothing there, you know. But some people have conversations, evidently, and they want to lock their phone.
Or, like, credit card information or things like that. Like,
oh. What does that mean?
Well, so you can put all your financial information on your phone.
Oh.
And then if you don't have it locked and somebody finds your phone, they can use your phone to buy things.
Oh, okay.
Bad news.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was reading about these deals, and it says you should use a different code for everything. Every bank account, each phone, each credit card, whatever. Well, how do you remember all that? And don't write it down. And don't put it in your purse or your wallet. Well, I'm not able to remember five different passwords.
Well, five would be not very many.
Really?
Like I would have like 40 if I had to do that.
Well, I've got one now that I'm going to go down to the people in town here, and I'm going to say, I don't want to have to unlock my phone every time I use it. Although I did notice that it does come up if you get a text message, it does come up and give you most of what the text message says.
Yep.
So you don't have to unlock it for it. So,
unless you want to respond to it.
Yeah. There you go. Well, let's respond to this. I always have fun at the same point. Oh, doggone it, Terry. Oh, man, you know what just happened? It's flipped over to the news. And just before I was going to play it, I mean, I had the mouse in my hand, and I wanted to do it adjacent and then do the news, but it jumped over at 40, so, and then I was watching that clock up there, and that's about 30 seconds slow, so.
I'm distracting him.
Yes, you're distracting me. Now, remember, when we come back, we're going to talk, go ahead, let's do that. We're going to do the news first, and then we'll be back. We'll get that Saints message on. This is The One, 95.1 FM, 1080 AM, KYMN, Northfield, Minnesota.
Government fine, Abe in D.C. I'm John Trout. The U.S. government has levied a $1 billion fine on China's ZTE telecom.
I'm not a big ZTE fan.
Republican Senator John Kennedy reacting to the news.
They're a little too close to the Communist Party of China. My taste.
In the agreement reached with the government, ZTE would be permitted to resume doing business in the U.S. Ahead of next week's U.S.-North Korea summit in Singapore, Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe will meet with President Trump today at the White House. Correspondent Anna Corrin reports Abe will be reminding the president of his nation's concerns.
They've had those missile tests fly over Japanese territory, land in their waters. They've had North Korea threaten war and attacks against Japan. So Abe will be telling Trump, go into this meeting with your eyes wide open.
Alice Marie Johnson is free from prison.
Thank you, President Trump, for really seeing me, not just looking at some data about my crime.
After over 20 years behind bars, Johnson has been released from a federal prison after President Trump commuted her life sentence on a nonviolent drug charge. House Republican leaders are looking for a compromise on immigration legislation today.
They want legal status for the so-called Dreamers and a path to citizenship. While conservatives oppose a special path to citizenship, some are willing to link citizenship with funding for a wall along the Mexican border. There are other issues that come into play, including limits on visas and family-based immigration. House leaders hope the meeting leads to a middle ground on the fractious issue. Jerry Bodlander, Washington.
Stocks are opening mostly higher on Wall Street, putting the market on track for a fifth straight gain. Energy companies and banks rose more than the rest of the market in early trading. Chevron rose 1.5%. Bank of New York Mellon climbed 1.5%. I'm John Trout.
You never know who's going to show up on St. Paul's front porch. Tonight it's the Big Doll Gang. Isn't that adorable? Little Tommy is going to shoot off some bottle rockets. Bet he doesn't know they're illegal in Minnesota. Be careful, Tommy. Don't shoot your eye out.
Saints baseball tonight with Star Wars Night presented by Pizza Ranch. Plus, enjoy XL Energy Friday Night Fireworks scored by John Williams Greats.
Fun is good at CHS Field, St. Paul's front porch, and home of Saints baseball.
Get older, losing my head. let me out till 2:45. Would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
We're back and live and in color on the Wayne Eddy Affair. I'm Kim, a friend you can count on in studio. I have a guest named Greg Berube. He is a new businessman in the area out in Dundas, Minnesota, a new business called CrossFit Skopos. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but right now, I know, what grade school did you go to in St. Paul?
I didn't.
You were homeschooled?
I was homeschooled.
And who was the teacher?
I had a couple. I had Mary Bleese, and I had my cousin Jill, and then my mom.
And was it just you, or was it the entire family?
At different points, it was different numbers of us. So I was homeschooled through fifth grade, and then I went to sixth grade at Highland Park Elementary, and then seventh, eighth, and ninth grade at Trinity School at River Ridge, over by the Mall of America.
Oh boy, how'd you get there?
A carpool with a bunch of other people from our area.
From the church that your dad was
pastoring?
Nope,
it was just we figured out there were a number of people that went there who lived near us, and then parents would take turns driving us.
Well, what was the reason? Sometimes kids will do that because they want to play hockey or something like that.
Just a more aggressive education. So I learned the same things in ninth grade at Trinity that I learned my senior year at St. Paul Central.
All right.
So,
you didn't get to participate in athletics, did you?
At Trinity?
At Trinity?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I played soccer all 3 years there.
Soccer?
Yeah.
But I shouldn't say it like that.
Yeah,
anymore.
It was kind of mean.
I can't imagine. I'm very taken aback by the press that the soccer team is getting.
Oh, yeah.
And I was happy and proud that they're building their field where the St. Paul Saints originally were, on Lexington and University.
Yep.
I haven't driven by there, have you?
I have not seen it since they switched it.
Check it out?
No. Nope.
Okay. Used to be a roller rink there. On the
I corner. Didn't know that.
Lexington roller rink.
I didn't know that at all.
Yeah. And so what, at Trinity, did you have a little conference among parochial schools soccer competition?
Yeah, so there were a number of other mostly Catholic schools that we played.
Yeah, like Nativity. And,
yep.
Okay.
Nativity.
Are you surprised I know so much?
I mean, I for the first 5 minutes of this interview, I was surprised, and then I just kind of got over it because I assume you're going to know so much at this point.
Okay.
You surprised me at the beginning, and then I kind of expect it now.
Okay. When you went to Highland Park Junior High or middle school, what did they call it?
I think it was elementary for sixth grade.
And then after the sixth grade, you went to Trinity.
Yeah.
And then Trinity through nine?
Yep.
Okay, now you're going to go to a public school.
Yep.
And did Renee, Lisa, do that same type of...
Similar. Renee went to Central. She was homeschooled through 10th grade and then went to Central 11th and 12th. Lisa was homeschooled through 8th grade. No, through 6th grade. Went to Ramsey Middle School.
Okay.
And then St. Paul Central.
All right. So now it's your turn. And did Renee and Lisa kind of set a precedence for the... Berube family at being accomplished students, and
they did. They were basically straight A students,
which is challenging to you.
I wasn't even close. I was like just over a 3.0.
But didn't mom and dad expect you to meet the parameters that Renee and Lisa did?
Yeah, I mean they expected it. Didn't happen. They expected it.
Okay, so now you're in a public school, a large public school.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't been in there since they put on the new facade.
Yep.
Now, I'm saying new, probably 20 years old.
It's been a while.
But
less than 20 because it was after I left.
Okay. And I remember number one, the population. And number two, the thing that it was a very diverse school.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, there wasn't any Highland Park school.
Oh, when you were there.
Highland High School. So, for your own benefit, I may have said this before on the air, but the population at Central High School at that time, when I went there in the 50s, late 50s, was a large black population, a large Jewish population, a large wealthy Caucasian population, and then the poor white people and Puerto Ricans were the minorities, and we kind of hung together and watched all the jocks and beautiful girls and brainy people and artsy people flourish. And I got myself into a pickle there one time and ended up in a parking lot. It was scary. But what was the population like when you went there?
I don't know, like, actual numbers, but it was very diverse. There's a large Hmong population.
Hmong?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I would guess for sure the most diverse school I've been part of.
Sure.
Yeah, for me it was really fun because I came from the childhood of all these international students, so it felt like home to me.
Oh, good.
You know, it was it felt much more welcoming and normal, I think, than even Trinity did. Trinity was entirely white, and it felt odd coming from that home where we had so many other cultures mixed in under one roof. Central felt a lot more like home.
Now, did you get involved in extracurricular activities?
Not really.
You didn't run with the track team?
No. I told you this before. I'm a terrible runner. I'm a terrible runner.
Well, I'm trying to encourage you. No, with a large population like that, to be part of a successful athletic program, you'd have a lot of competition.
Yeah, you would have. I played Ultimate Frisbee there just with some friends on a club team, but... beyond that, it was, yeah, I didn't do anything. I played soccer in a traveling team outside of high school.
What position?
I was a sweeper.
Okay, educate me.
Sweeper is the last defender. So if the ball or a forward gets past everybody, then it's my job to either take the ball or knock down the forward.
Are you the first guy with his back to the goalie?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
That guy.
Okay, so kind of like a defenseman in hockey or something like that?
Yep.
All right. So how did you do? I always ask this question of anybody that played organized sports. What was the one play you'll never forget when you were playing soccer with the traveling team or the...
Probably the only red card I ever got.
Okay, what? So, tell me about it.
Do you know what a red card is?
That means you're kicked out?
Yeah, you're gone.
There's yellow, then red?
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
Hey.
So yeah, it's well done. I didn't get a yellow card. What I did was bad enough that they just gave me a red card and booted me. But there, a guy got past me with the ball and was going straight for the goalie, and I ran behind him and then did a slide tackle from behind him and just basically chopped his feet out from under him, and I didn't even get the ball, which is a no-no in soccer.
Oh, yeah.
So I got booted, but I saved a goal, and then they missed the penalty kick. So it was worth it.
Okay. But, yeah, it wouldn't, in baseball, they would say over-aggressive at second base, for example.
Yeah, an aggressive slide, yeah.
And in football, they would take an unprotected wide receiver and a quarterback at the knees. So
sure.
That's kind of what you did?
It's more like in football if you got like a unnecessary roughness.
Okay.
That's what that was, like very aggressive unnecessary roughness.
Okay. But you'll never forget that
I will
play.
Not.
And they didn't make the penalty kick.
They did not.
And how did the game end?
We won.
Okay.
Worth it.
All right. 10:12 on 1080 KYMN Radio. My guest this morning is a gentleman by the name of Greg Berube, who's been with us now for about an hour and a half. And
yeah.
I thank you for making yourself available today. I do want to remind people that there's a big deal going on at the Liebenstein Farm on Saturday morning, and it's to help celebrate June Dairy Month. And, of course, KYMN Radio had been involved with Rice County Dairy Association for nearly 50 years now. So get out, teach your kids how milk is produced. Go to the farm and enjoy cookies and probably ice cream and milk, etc., at the Liebenstein Farm. And unfortunately, they're so busy, I couldn't get them in studio today and tomorrow. Well, maybe I can do a phone tomorrow. Anyhow, are you ready to continue our conversation?
I'm ready.
As a young man from a large family and a father that had work ethics and a culture that included everybody, did you have to go out and earn your own money to buy tennis shoes and clothes and whatever you wanted? Did you work while you were in high school?
Yes. By the time I got to high school, that was... If I wanted new shoes and my dad didn't think I needed new shoes yet, I had to buy my own new shoes. I think when it got to the point where my shoes were falling apart, if I didn't have the money for it, my dad would buy me new shoes.
Okay.
But if I wanted something and my dad didn't think it was necessary, it was my job to have made money to go do that myself. Luckily, my best friend at the time, his dad owned a construction company and allowed us to do like cleanup and sweeping and all that in his warehouse for like $5 an hour.
And that was when you were in high school?
Middle school, high
middle school,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that wasn't a regular job. You didn't have to report in every day, did you?
I would routinely go there after school.
And clean up?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. I did the same thing on the west side of St. Paul. I don't know if you're familiar with the George and Stryker area, right?
Nope.
Well, you know where the high bridge is.
Yep.
When you get off the high bridge, yep, you take a left on George Street, and then you end up on Concord.
Okay.
If you keep going. Anyhow, I did wash the mirrors, clean the sink, clean the blades, and all that, sweep the hair up, and I did it for like 35 cents a night. So there's a lot of age difference here between you and I.
And some inflation.
Yeah, a lot of inflation. So that kept you in money. Now, when you were in high school, did you have a sweetheart?
I wasn't allowed to date in high school.
Oh.
My senior year, I dated someone anyway and just didn't tell dad.
So you didn't go to the prom?
I did. That was when my parents found out that I'd been dating someone, is when I told them I was going to prom. That became a little bit of a fight.
Well, how did it go over? How did you... evidently, your family was... your parents were pretty firm individuals.
Dad was very firm. Mom was... So dad was firm, very rule-based. Mom was... mom is still very emotionally nurturing and supportive.
Good.
So she eventually talked dad into letting me go.
And there was a girl on hold, like, hey, will you go to the prom with me if my mom and dad would let me?
No, I basically told her I was going whether or not my parents let
me.
I was very, very confident that I could make this work.
17 years old?
Yeah.
And you knew it all. when did you get your driver's license?
At 17.
Okay.
But the deal with my parents was that I had to be able to pay for part of the insurance before I could get my license. So I had to be making enough money to pay my dad $100 a month so that I could get my license and not necessarily destroy him financially because of the insurance going through the roof.
Well, that's good. I like this way you were brought up so far.
Yeah, my dad did a pretty good job.
Yeah. Okay, so how did you get to and from the prom?
The girl I was dating was daughter of two partners in a law firm. So she had a
mom and dad that were lawyers?
They were both partners.
Okay.
So she had a summer car that was a convertible and a winter car that was a Volvo. So she had a little bit of a different experience than I did. So we took her convertible. Both of our proms were on the same night because we didn't go to the same school. So we went to my prom first and then her prom afterwards.
And what school was hers?
What school did she go to? I don't remember.
Oh, it was a public school?
No, hers was private.
The parochial school?
She might have gone to Benilde St. Margaret.
Okay. On the far east side.
Yep.
Off of Wiper and Larpinder.
Yep.
Okay, that's a drive. But, so that had to be a lot of fun.
We had a good time, yeah.
I have to tell you about one of the proms I went to because, you know, we're having a conversation. And the nice young lady that asked me from Central.
Nice.
And I said, sure, you know, but I didn't have a car. She said, well, we can use Mom or Dad's. I said, oh, okay. Well, this was over in Highland Park. And we had a choice of a brand new white Lincoln or a brand new black Lincoln. And it was ours for the evening.
Which did you pick?
I think we went with the white one.
Why?
Well, it was pretty, you know. You know, and so was she, so what the heck, yeah. It was, that was a big deal.
I'm sure.
To drive a Lincoln, let me drive their Lincoln. So you had a good time at both proms.
Yeah.
Okay. Take a lot of pictures?
No, I don't think so.
No? No, you didn't stand on the stairwell and have a picture taken at home? And
no.
Did you buy her a bouquet?
Yeah. Yeah, I did all that. I did all the right stuff.
Did you dance?
Yeah.
Did you go out for dinner afterwards?
Before.
Before?
Yeah.
Okay, where'd you go?
I don't remember what it's called, but there's a restaurant in Minneapolis that spins at the top.
Oh yeah, the old idea at the IDS Tower.
Yeah. We did that with a group of her friends.
Yeah, that was kind of impressive, wasn't it?
Yeah.
How much did the meal cost you?
I don't know, because her dad paid for it.
Her dad?
Yeah.
Her dad?
Her dad.
Did he give you the $100 bill and say
fun? I think he gave her $300, yeah.
Holy moly. And you're not the era of the IRC where now I hear some high school kids rent motel rooms.
No.
After the prom.
No, I was lucky that I got out of the house that night. There was no way I was not coming home.
All right. So where did Renee go to college?
Renee went to Bethany Seminary or not Bethany Christian.
Okay. Where did Lisa go to school? By the way, folks, Renee is his older sister by 5 years, and Lisa is his older sister by a couple of years. And he doesn't remember where they went to college.
No, I'm blanking. It's the Christian school in Roseville, Christian College.
Oh, Northwestern? Roseville.
Northwestern, there we go.
Okay. See?
Radio station comes out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing that I can relate to you, and you're just a punk kid?
I don't know if you have to call me a punk.
No,
but
I shouldn't have said that. I don't know why I said that. You're certainly not a punk. So now you graduate from Central High School. What is that graduation like with all those students? How many were there in your class?
There were 700 plus in my class,
isn't but
I think
crazy?
About 550 graduated.
And half of them were lucky.
Yeah, well, I have no idea.
I talked to them.
I was probably lucky.
Okay. So where did they hold the graduation ceremony?
The St. Paul Convention Center.
Okay. Was that pretty exciting to watch 700 kids walk across the stage?
It was just a long ceremony. That's too many people to sit there and listen to names.
Da, 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 da,
yeah.
Da. Play that over
so
and over.
So long.
Yeah. And did you go out for dinner after graduation?
Yeah, my family all went out together. I don't remember where we went. Okay. Probably Buca di Beppo's. Do you ever go there?
No, I never. It wasn't around when I was old enough to afford it. So we are going to take a very brief break. We're going to come back, and now we're going to find out about high school, okay?
Okay.
Do you have an old junk or car in the garage or on the farm? Call Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300. Get the most cash for your old junk or vehicle and have it taken away for free. Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300.
Our guest this morning, Greg Berube, and he is a new businessman in Dundas, Northfield area. CrossFit Scopos, it's called, and it's in that strip mall just north of Menards. You use the same road to get to your business next to Gooters, I think it's called, up in that area. Now you have to, Northwestern, of course, here in St. Paul, a religious school. People go there to get become ministers, etc.
Or teachers. It's a very...
Okay. So, now where did you decide to go to school?
Cornell College in Iowa.
And how did that come up?
It came up specifically because of that one course at a time, taking one class every month. I found that idea, and I like that much more than the idea of being in a semester program.
And I know that you had mentioned that earlier, but we're playing catch-up now. So how did you find that? Did you graduate in 2001 from high school?
Well done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Smartphones and computers and things like that weren't totally relevant at that time.
No, well, I had a desktop computer that I brought to school, but I didn't have a laptop. Definitely didn't have a cell phone.
Okay, so did you ever think of St. Olaf or Carleton?
No, I was. Most of my family and the kids, especially, stayed very close to home when they went to school. I was of the mindset that I wanted to be further away. Like I wanted to leave home and go somewhere else, and Cornell did a really good job advertising and recruiting. So after I found that one course of time, I was kind of sold.
Well, once you go to Cornell, you have to live on campus for the first year or two.
All 4 years.
You have to? Yeah. All four? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, unless you get a special permission, you have to be on campus all 4 years.
Okay, so who pays for that?
I mean, I did. I got loans.
Oh, God. You know, that's a big deal today. And you don't have to share the information if you don't want to, but there are stories about people that get out of college and they owe $100,000 or more dollars.
I wasn't that high.
And the profession they anticipate, like social work, well, it doesn't pay that well and aren't that many jobs. So who paid for your college and how did you go about doing that in 2001?
So I got loans. My dad co-signed on some loans, but they were mostly, they're in my name, and my dad hasn't paid any of that back. I've been doing all the repayments, but I actually was a resident assistant all through college.
So that knocked a little off?
I didn't have to pay for housing, which is very helpful.
Yeah.
And then I got a bunch of scholarships for educational and academic reasons. So I
did you apply for those scholarships?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. But I owed less than $12,000 a year of like the 32 that it costs.
So 12 and 12 is 24, 48. So
yeah.
You're paying back 48 grand.
It's about that, yeah.
Yeah. And I can't imagine starting off in life owing $48,000. Of course, that's a bigger number to me than it is to you because of
that's still
inflation.
A lot of money.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I get a kick out of the ads on television about pickup trucks or cars, and if you buy one now, you can save $11,000.
It goes from 60 to 49.
And you're going, $11,000? Save $11,000? Holy cow. That's amazing. So what did you major in?
I was a double major in psychology and theology.
And what did you anticipate, following in your father's footsteps?
No, I was never going to be a pastor.
Okay. Well, what did you not know about theology after 18 years of dad?
It wasn't what I didn't know. It was that I enjoyed the debate of it. So Cornell is a very liberal school, so I got to go and do and take theology programs and classes. And, I mean, I took a witchcraft course and things like that where you can debate with people. It was a lively conversation. So for me, the theology part was much more about debate and arguing and conflicting ideals. And the psychology was the piece that was interesting for me that I didn't understand very well and I wanted to learn more.
So did you get a degree in both?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. And tell me about witchcraft. When I hear the word witchcraft, the first thing I think of is Frank Sinatra with a fantastic song called Witchcraft. Have you ever heard of Frank Sinatra?
I know who Frank Sinatra is,
okay.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about, by the way, Monday I had a lady in that read tarot cards.
Oh, interesting.
To me.
Interesting.
And then she had the stones with the spire and the hanky with the sevens and all that, and she told me who I was and all that.
Because you didn't know yet.
tell me about witchcraft.
I mean, it's a while ago. A lot of that class was a history lesson, you know, so it was the history of cults and ritual witchcraft and worked all the way up into the Wiccan culture of modern day, and explained it as another religion. So a lot of people see witchcraft as, you know, this evil dark side thing, and I think for a lot of people it still is that way, but it was explained much more as a full set of different beliefs, rather than being like the evil to Christianity's good. And it was just interesting to argue and to have those conversations and to figure out how, because I took the class with two or three Wiccans, and I like them as people, and they weren't evil, and it was just fun to have that experience where you're exposed to ideologies that are so different from your own.
Wiccan doesn't describe gender, does it?
No.
Okay.
Well, I don't think so.
I mean, there isn't a Wiccan and a Wicket?
No. Wiccan is a belief structure.
So do you think that your roots from Connecticut may have piqued your interest?
I don't know, but I did end up living in Salem, Massachusetts for 2 years. When my wife worked at Boston Children's Hospital, we lived in Salem, and that was an entirely different experience with like Halloween in Salem and the Salem witch trials and all that. That was a wild experience.
What was your first job out of college?
I worked for a wedding tent company, putting up wedding tents as a team lead. I did that all through the summers in college, and then worked there full time for about 8 months afterwards, and then I got that job at St. Olaf as a hall director.
A hall director?
Yeah, I managed a dorm full of freshmen.
Okay, well, you indicated that you were an RA at Cornell.
Yep.
Your freshman year?
Second semester of my freshman year, yeah.
Oh, that's pretty quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got a job at St. Olaf. Well, you mentioned you're married.
I am.
And you, what's your wife's name?
Andrea.
And where's Andrea from?
Andrea is from Ames, Iowa.
Uh-huh. And where did you meet Andrea?
We met on Match.com, actually.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. That's I've heard stories. Those are pretty successful.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah.
And we both jumped on a free weekend, so we didn't even pay for it.
Okay, I guess you have to pay to be on.
Normally, like if you're gonna be on it for a long period of time, you have to pay to do it. But we didn't pay for it, and we met each other. I sent her a message first. She told me that she wasn't interested in dating, and I was very confused as to why she was on Match.com.
And her explanation was?
And I called her out on it, and she didn't have an explanation at the time, so she agreed to go on a date with me. And then eventually she explained that she got on because she saw some other guy that she liked.
Oh, okay.
And she was hoping that he would respond to her, and he didn't, but I did.
You did. And so when
his loss.
Now, how long did you communicate with each other before you got on the phone and then met personally?
We probably sent two or three emails back and forth each, and then talked a couple times on the phone, and then met. And so we were in Iowa City at the time. I was working for the University of Iowa, and we met at a restaurant called, we were trying to meet at a restaurant called Crave on a Sunday night, and it was closed. So we ended up meeting at a bar, a saloon in Iowa City. She walked in, and I already had a beer. This was, what year was this? 2009. So this was the year that the Twins and the Tigers played game 183. Yeah, 183. 163. Do you follow baseball?
Jeff Johnson's a pro at it. I'd follow him in 1987 and 1991.
Absolutely. Those are the good years.
Fair weather.
So the Twins had to play the Tigers.
I do remember that.
For a one-game playoff to get into the playoffs.
I remember that.
And Andrea's sitting in front of me in our date, and there's the game going on in a TV just above her right shoulder.
Oh, I see where this is going.
So we're trying to have a conversation, and routinely my eyes are bleeding up to the right and not looking at her, and then I'm trying to recollect back to her and make her feel like I'm paying attention, and then I would get distracted and look up to the right again. She thought I wasn't interested in her at all. And, you know, a week later when we went on, you know, our third date, she asked about it, and I explained what was going on, and then, you know, it was a fun story.
Do you send pictures of each other? I mean, when you do this match thing?
There are pictures on your profile,
okay,
yeah.
So you can Do you look at the picture and say, ooh, and or do you look at the profile and say, well, I wonder what she looks like, and then look at the picture?
Well, I think everybody likes to think that they look at the profile, but she was gorgeous.
Yeah.
She is gorgeous. So I noticed that right away.
All
and
right.
Then I read her profile.
All right. And that worked out.
That worked out.
So how long did you date before you married?
We were dating for 5 months before I asked her to marry me.
Wow.
And we were married within 11 months of meeting each other.
Well, that was a relatively short time.
Move it along.
How old were you?
27.
Well, that's a good age. That's a good age.
I was 27. She's 26.
Yeah, that's very reasonable, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And these people that get married at 19 and 20, they don't know what they're missing, literally.
I don't know what I missed either, but I got the good deal at the end of it.
All right. So where did you get married?
We got married at a church in Ames and then did our reception at the University of Iowa campus.
And
Iowa State University campus.
Okay.
Her father would be very upset if I made those mistakes.
Yeah, I
they're very different.
Mixed up all the time. Who are they? Are Blackhawks or Hawkeyes? Or
Hawkeyes. That's Iowa.
Okay.
The Cyclones are Iowa State.
Okay.
They're an Iowa State family.
All right. And Ames is what?
Iowa State.
Okay. Who was the ceremony person who married you?
My dad.
Why did I think that? That's cool. Was everybody there?
Pretty much, yeah.
Sisters and brothers?
Yeah.
So it was a pretty big deal. Does she come from a big family?
Family of four kids. So
okay.
Kind of medium.
Were they pretty much involved in Christianity? Well, you know, your dad was a pastor.
Oh, I mean, yeah, they went to church as a family, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know whether, you know, the pastor kid married the pastor's kid.
Oh, no. That would have been too much. We're spitfires enough with each other as it is. That would have been too much.
Okay, so you're working for in Ames at the university.
That was in Iowa City.
Iowa City, okay.
I was working for the University of Iowa. We got married at Iowa State.
Okay.
It's not confusing at all.
Well, no. Okay, and what was your job at University of Iowa?
Same job as at St. Olaf. I was a hall director. I managed a dorm full of freshmen.
How do you... Oh, okay. And that psychology and theology degree certainly would attract an employer. Like, hey, you know, this guy.
The psychology degree helped a lot. At this point, I had graduated from grad school at St. Thomas, also. So I had a degree in student affairs and leadership as well.
Okay. Would you like to know something?
Yes.
Do you think I have a connection to St. Thomas?
I assume so.
Have you ever been to the Shaughnessy Library?
Yeah.
My uncle, Father Clyde, was the first librarian there.
Oh, cool.
And he had a doctorate in library science.
That's awesome.
And I'm going, at that time I was probably 15, and I'm going, who would ever want to have a, you know,
a library science degree?
Why do you have to have a doctor be in the library business? That was pretty naive. But I moved all the books from the old library to the new library.
Yeah.
That's a long time ago.
There's a lot of changes on that campus since then.
Yeah.
Have you been back there?
Oh, I went to the academy before they moved to Mendota. And it used to be two buildings that were the academy.
Sure.
First. And then they built the college.
Yep.
And I went to St. Thomas for 2 years before. Why did I leave? Let me think. Oh. Anyhow. 23 minutes before 11 o'clock on Kim. And so you got your master's degree at St. Thomas?
I did, yeah.
Okay. And so then you went down to Iowa.
Yep.
Then you went on match plan. And then you met your wife.
Yep.
And then you got married. But were you at St. Olaf by the time you got married?
St. Olaf was before that. St. Olaf was before St. Thomas. St. Olaf was the first thing out of college.
Okay.
So it was St. Olaf. And then St. Thomas with my master's degree, and then University of Iowa, and then we moved to Salem in Boston, where she worked at the Children's Hospital. Do you remember?
Yeah, did she have a nursing degree out of what school?
Out of the University of Iowa.
Okay. And it must have been a special job to go all the way out to Boston.
So the Boston Children's is considered one of the best hospitals in the nation, probably one of the best hospitals in the world. But she had an opportunity to work there as a travel nurse, and she took that.
Travel nurse.
So she
pediatrics.
Yeah, pediatric intensive care.
Oh, okay.
But she travel nurse just means that they paid her to move out there because they needed the help.
All right. Yeah, nursing, a great profession. A lot of jobs still today.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out, you did that at St. Olaf, a hall monitor? That's
hall director, yeah, same idea.
Okay. And had you been to Northfield before you got the job at St. Olaf?
I mean, we had been here for Jesse James days at some point.
Defeat of Jesse James days.
Yes, that, sorry.
Tell me that story. How did, because I'm pretty involved in that.
Just like as kids, we came down a couple times. During,
really?
Yeah, just to visit. Never stayed or anything. Just came down during a day and then would go home.
Did you watch the raid reenactments?
I don't think we ever did that. No.
Oh, that's, have you ever since?
I have not.
Well, I'm sure you will now.
I should.
All right. So I'm trying to keep all this jumping around. So
we moved a lot.
You know, homeschooled, got that. And don't tell me yet. Okay, homeschooled, and then religious school, Trinity.
Trinity, nicely done.
Okay. Thank you. And then from Trinity to Highland Park Junior High. And
nope,
then
Trinity straight to Central. Homeschool to Highland Park to Trinity to Central.
Homeschool Highland Park Trinity Central,
yeah.
Central to Cornell,
yeah.
Cornell to St. Olaf,
to St. Olaf.
St. Olaf to Ames or
to St. Thomas.
St. Olaf to St. Thomas, and then
I moved every 9 months. I moved for like 10 years.
Wow.
It was so much.
So you're in Boston. Did you get a job in Boston?
Yep. I got a job at Salem State University. Worked there for 2 years. That was the longest I stayed in place for a while. And then we came back to Rochester here in Minnesota when my wife got into the anesthesia program at
Is
Mayo
your
Clinic.
Wife an anesthesiologist?
She's an anesthetist.
Anesthetist? I thought she was Protestant.
She's an anesthetist, which means she's a nurse. She's a nurse anesthesiologist or a nurse anesthetist. So she does the same thing an anesthesiologist would
without
the 4-year degree. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Without the paycheck.
Still a responsible.
She does fine.
Well.
Yeah.
Okay. Which gives you an opportunity to do what you want to do.
Exactly.
Okay, so where did you live in Rochester?
We lived on the north side of town. What is that?
Well, you were north side of town. Okay.
Yeah.
So, quick trip home on 52.
Yep.
Just
yep.
Fly home.
45 minutes.
Yep. Yeah. So she has this good job, and what job did you take when she took that job?
I was managing an apartment complex, so a private complex not associated with the school that a lot of students stayed at for the Rochester Community and Technical College.
Okay.
So same kind of job, but it was a private sector instead of working for the school.
Okay. So did you do janitorial work?
We had my job was more the sales of the apartments and the turnover and managing behavioral stuff.
Is it true that most places that rent that are corporate do require a deposit, damage deposit, will do anything they can to keep that money?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a brother-in-law that's a veterinarian, a former brother-in-law, and when he was going to school, he did the same thing and went up there to visit the family, and he was over in another unit, and he's in there cleaning. And I said, well, this place looks pretty clean. You must have been there. Well, actually, I have to at least try something because we want to be sure to keep the deposit.
Yep.
Yeah. I thought, well, that isn't very nice. Okay, we're going to get you to Dundas and Northfield in just a moment. We will be right back on the Wayne Eddy Affair. Our guest is Greg Berube. He has a new business in Dundas called CrossFit Scopos.
Residential or commercial, Cannon Valley Water in Dundas is the place to call for water. Whether it's a complete water conditioning system or just salt delivery and filters, Cannon Valley Water can take care of it. And Cannon Valley Water can also deliver Candy Yohai premium water right to your house or business at great rates, too. Chippewa Springs is as pure today as it was when we first tested it over a century ago, and is proudly distributed by Cannon Valley Water. Pickups are now located at 609 Stafford Lane in Dundas, just behind Aldi. Call Cannon Valley for your water today.
Hi, I'm Alyssa, director at the VitaLink Adult Day Center on the Three Links campus. Are you the primary caregiver of an adult living at home? Do you need a break from caregiving to recharge and do what you need or like to do during the day? That is where our program can help. We will provide a fun, nurturing setting for your loved one to thrive at. VitaLink Adult Day Center. Transportation is available. Call 664-8865 to learn more or go to threelinks.org.
We're back on KYMN Radio, the Wayne Eddy Affair. Greg Berube is my guest this morning, and Greg is only 35 years old, but he started his own business in Dundas a while back, and he and his wife, Andrea. Are you living in Northfield, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right behind Target.
So you, okay, I was just over there for some high school graduations recently.
Sure.
It's really pretty back
there. I like it a lot. Yeah.
So now you, your wife, Andrea, gets this great job in Boston. You go with her. You end up in apartment building management. And then she gets an offer from Mayo Clinic, which is one of the more respected, like you bragged up Boston. You can brag up Mayo.
Yeah.
And she's a nursing anesthetist. And so she commutes to Rochester. And I would assume she...
No, we moved to Rochester.
Oh, well, she's not there anymore?
No, she lives here with me and works at District 1 now. So she does the same job. She does the nurse anesthetist job at District 1.
I got ahead of myself.
A little bit.
Well, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Forgive me.
I forgive you.
All right. No, me just a bunch of... So, anyhow, you're in Rochester. Now, you're following her.
Yeah.
And so then when, I suppose I should say... when did you want to start your own business, CrossFit Scopos?
So her program to be an anesthetist was 30 months. I knew that I wanted to open that gym about a year, maybe a little bit more than a year into her program. So about 12 to 14 months into her doing that program. At that point, I quit my job as an apartment manager, and I worked for Verizon for about a year, waiting for her to finish.
Doing
sales.
That's what I thought of.
Yeah.
Okay. Which unit? Where were your store in Rochester?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
There's two Verizon stores in Rochester. Well,
so
I work for the Southern
you're
one.
A real pro in these things.
Yeah, I can manage that phone.
So you can get this thing out of my, so I don't have to punch in that
I could try, yeah. I can see, if you want me to mess with it, I can see what I can do.
All right. Well, you're messing with yours all the time.
Oh, it's been sitting there face down. I don't know.
Okay, so you went to, so while you were at Horizon, she was doing the thing in Rochester. You had this, where did you, I heard part of your interview with Jeff, but when did, hey, you know what? I'd like to get into not only the psychological and theological part of my career, but I want to get into the physical part.
That happened when I was in Mankato. I went to...
No, where did Mankato come in?
So I've been trying to keep up with you, but when we came back, so this is there's so much movement here. When we came back from Boston, she started working for Mayo. I couldn't find a job in Rochester. I found a job in Mankato, working full time as a hall director again. So I took that job. She worked and stayed in Rochester during the week, and then came back and stayed with me on the weekends. And then eventually I found a job in Rochester and then moved there. But when I was in Mankato, I went to a CrossFit gym with one of my coworkers, and who is also Andrea. And we started doing CrossFit. Within about a week of trying it, I fell in love with it. It was a lot like the team sports I played growing up. It just felt like that atmosphere again. When we moved to Rochester, we found another CrossFit gym and went there together, my wife and I. And within a couple months, I knew I wanted to coach, started coaching, got my certifications, and then within a year...
You know, I heard that on your interview with Jeff. What does that mean, certification? Is that just a corporate license?
So in order to coach CrossFit, you have to have what's called a CrossFit Level 1. So that's the base coaching level that you have to be at. So you have to go to a seminar and take a test and do a whole weekend of training.
And that's all corporate? Within the corporation.
Yeah, it's within CrossFit.
A state deal.
Okay. No, it's within CrossFit.
Okay. Do people fail?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and if you fail, then you have to pay to take the test again and then do it all over.
All with the idea of maybe someday owning your own gym?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. And how long did it take from the moment you went to the first class and to get the citation? Is that what you said?
Certificate.
Certificate, okay. I'm the one with get citations. and to ownership.
So the first class was probably 2000, what?
Well, you just... 13.
So I would say 4 years.
4 years?
Like, are you talking that my first CrossFit class or from when I got licensed as a coach?
Right. You got to Northfield.
Oh, so from first class or from coaching?
Yeah. Okay. Start all over. Okay. So now you're coaching at Mankato?
Coaching in Rochester.
Rochester.
Yes.
Okay. And then you said, hey, I would like to own a franchise.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah, 2 years.
Okay.
2 years from coaching to owning.
Okay. And so now you've got the certification. Now you have to find a location.
Right.
Okay. The old saying, location, location, location.
100%.
Okay, now, what did you do? Now, your wife is working in...
Rochester.
Rochester.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're both working and living in Rochester.
You can't do Rochester. They have that market.
Well, there were four, I think maybe five,
yeah,
in a town of 100,000.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Which is enough.
Yeah.
You know,
that comes down to 20,000, and guess what? We have 20,007 people in Northfield.
Yeah, and in the location that I'm at, it also serves Faribault very easily. So it's another 25 coming out of
Faribault.
Do you
have Rice County?
Basically, yeah. Rice County's mine.
Yeah, okay. I mean, nobody could open another one.
Oh, no, there's no rules on that. Somebody could open next door to me if they wanted to.
Ooh, that's chancy.
Yeah, there's no rules about, like, who can open or, like, how close somebody can be next to you. So in Rochester, there are five different owners of five different CrossFit gyms within a couple miles of each other.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's...
Free market, right?
That's good for the corporate, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. They
One of the things that impressed me in your interview with Jeff Johnson was that I believe you said you don't have to pay a franchise fee on a regular business schedule. You ride their advertising,
yep,
et cetera.
Okay. So I pay a yearly affiliate fee.
Okay.
It's pretty cheap, and yeah, I don't have to pay anything monthly, and they don't take a percentage of any of my income or anything like that. It's just...
You buy equipment from them?
No, they are a knowledge and oversight group.
Okay.
You buy equipment from whoever you want. Okay. So I did all my price shopping and got my equipment wherever I decided I wanted to.
Is the guy that started this whole thing, is he kind of different?
Yeah.
Okay, because I think I've seen a special on him. And
the 60-minute special?
Yeah, he's a multimillionaire.
Oh, yeah.
Based on his philosophy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it's more philosophy than it is franchising.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's interesting to know. So how did you pick Northfield?
We did like a brief search.
Dundas.
Yeah, we did a brief search throughout kind of the central southern Minnesota area, looking for something that was relatively equidistant between our families, because they're, again, in Iowa. My family's up in St. Paul. Knowing we were going to start a family, trying to be, like, close to both.
Yep.
So it was Red Wing and Northfield and Faribault that were kind of our options. And Red Wing was much further away from the Iowa side, so we sort of eliminated that at the beginning. And then, like, the median income in Northfield is slightly higher, and CrossFit's not cheap. So we went with Northfield.
Okay. And how long have you been here?
We opened on December 1st of 2015.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So coming up on 3 years.
And I never knew you existed.
Yeah. We do a lot of word of mouth. I don't do a ton of advertising beyond that.
Wow. Boy, oh boy, and I've been by there 100 times.
I'm sure you've seen the sign.
It does not flash
it
in my
doesn't
mind.
Compute.
I've got the Hooters, I've got the Submarine, I got the Pawn Shop, I have the old Sears store,
Yeah, that's across the street over by where Kmart was, yeah.
Yeah, but I think they started over in your area.
Yeah, yes. And then it became Radio Shack.
Well, Radio Shack was there. Yeah, okay. And then they moved over next to Kmart, yep, where a woman's shop was.
Okay.
It's hard to keep up all this stuff. I've been around a long time, and
everything moves.
Did you know that when I came to this town, they did not have a stop and go light?
What do you mean?
A semaphore. A stop and go light. Green, yellow, red?
Oh, just a stoplight.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, stop, pause, stop, caution, go. Okay. Anyhow, how many do you think we have on Highway 3? Now, go ahead. How many do you think we have? Get from your place to here.
So I bring my son to daycare at the Montessori on the north side of town every morning. So it's... If I go from my place, if I take Highway 1, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6 or 7?
Well, there's a total of 7.
7? Yeah.
And it starts at Menards.
Yeah, that Highway 1.
And then Dundas,
yep,
and then the Quick Trip, if you will, and then Jefferson, and then Woodley, and then 5th Street, and then 2nd Street.
See, that's close. 6 or 7 is... Yeah, right there.
Yeah, yeah. You surprised me. I was thinking you're going to say 6 from your place of business, but you would have left the 7th one back by Menards.
Right.
We have to take a final break, and then we'll wrap her up here, okay?
Sounds good.
I'm having fun. How about you?
I am.
Okay. Getting to know you. You ever heard that song?
I have, of course.
Attention Prince fans. On Friday, June 8th, the forecast at Target Field calls for purple rain. Join us for a celebration of Prince's life and music as the Minnesota Twins host the Los Angeles Angels. The first 10,000 fans will get an inflatable Prince guitar. What? Or purchase a special theme night ticket package that includes an exclusive Prince cap. That's how we go crazy for Prince and our Minnesota Twins. This is how we baseball. Visit twinsbaseball.com/prince.
For your next haircut, here's a thought. Try Family Hair of Northfield. They're locally owned and operated. Family Hair offers friendly service at a great price. Located just across the parking lot from Just Food, Family Hair does cuts, perms, coloring, everything hair. No appointment is needed. Just walk right in. Christy, Megan, and their staff are great at what they do at prices you can't beat. If you have younger kids, they'll love the special kids seat with their choice of movies to watch while they get their hair cut. Visit Family Hair of Northfield.
The time has come for this year's graduating class to step into their future. The Realtors and staff at RE/MAX Advantage Plus in Northfield congratulates the class of 2018 and wishes you the best of luck in the next chapter of your life. When it's time to graduate to a new home, look no further than RE/MAX Advantage Plus in Northfield. Let their experienced Realtors help you every step of the way. Call 507-301-0600 to set up a free consultation today.
We're back, live and in color on Kim, and let me give you the exact time here. It's 10:56, 04, and 05, and 06. Okay, we're going to wrap her up here. Greg Berube is my guest here on Kim Radio. Your wife works at District 1 Hospital.
She does.
And that is, does she go down on County Road 20? To work?
I actually have no idea. I don't know that I've asked her what route she takes.
Yeah, well,
to get to
I'm
work.
Sure she takes 20. That's I'm sure.
Something I should ask her about, huh?
Yeah, she probably takes from your place. She probably takes 246 over to 22 up to 20, and then almost right to the hospital.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think we can get to 246 easily right now because of that Highway 1 closure.
Well. Highway on 246 isn't closed. You can
right, but like the easiest way, unless you were going north to like Jefferson and then back around. The easiest way would be to go Highway 1, but that's been closed. It's been a pain in the butt.
Yeah,
to
but
get to work.
You okay? So then what she does is she comes out on Highway 3.
Yeah, that's
okay,
for sure.
Then
how she
goes down to County Road. Yeah, wait a minute. Well, down to 20.
Yes.
It's just down to 20,
yes,
past Menards,
yes,
right by your shop.
Takes that first left.
Takes
on
a
right.
left,
yep,
and then she takes that right to the hospital.
That's what I assume she does.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Boy, we have a mundane conversation ending up here, so let's wrap her up. Greg Berube, I'm real happy that I met you. You seem a very pleasant individual.
Thanks.
And thank you for joining me unexpectedly here this morning.
No problem. It's been my pleasure.
And I want you to buff up Jeff and Terry. Although both of them look pretty good.
They're
right
in pretty
now.
Good shape already.
Yeah, and there's no pot bellies to get rid of. Tell me about pot bellies. Is that a natural for 50-plus? It's just there?
Especially for men. Men tend to carry their weight around their waist. Yeah. Yeah. That's very normal as aging starts. That's where the weight accumulates.
And it's not like a beer belly. A person that doesn't drink beer can have a pot belly.
Absolutely.
And what is the person my age, what is the thing that this you instructor is most asked about in regards to needing strength? Part of your program includes improving your strength.
Absolutely, yeah. So what we often get from people over 50 is questions about range of motion and mobility. So, you know, having a hard time with doing things with their shoulders or hip limited range of motion, and then being strong enough to do things on their own. So getting enough stretching and enough movement so that all the range of motion feels good, and then also building the strength, moving some weights, getting used to moving weights so that you feel stronger on your own.
Can you visit anytime?
Anytime, yeah.
And what are you paying for? A personal coach?
So you can do one-on-one training for as long as you want, or after you've done one-on-one training at the beginning, you can move and do classes with other people. Throughout the day, we have a number of times where you can do classes with other people, as well as open gym times where people can come in and work with a coach and do things that they want to on their own.
So you pay a monthly fee to be a member. You have access 24/7?
Nope. We're really open about 8 to 8, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., and there's a 5:30 a.m. class as well.
Ooh, you're busy.
Yeah.
What time do you close?
The last class that we run is usually 6:30 to 7:30, and then we're usually closed by 8.
That is a long day.
It's a long day.
How old is your son?
He is 2.
Oh, I love 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds.
That's so cute.
Oh, man. They are so cute. There's no doubt about it. And you have just the one child?
Just the one right now,
okay. Well, congratulations to you and Andrea.
Thank you.
And hopefully things go well for you in Dundas, Minnesota.
I appreciate it.
It's a nice community.
It is.
And I live in Bridgewater Township, so, you know, that's almost part of Dundas.
Yeah.
So enjoy your career here in Northfield, Minnesota, and many new endeavors in the future.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Appreciate it.
And that concludes today's Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN 1080 Radio AM from Northfield, Minnesota.
95.1, The One, revolutionizes radio with a playlist that lasts for days, not minutes.